Maybe it's something we overlook. I don't see how, but we think of Montana as more of an agricultural kind of place. Of course, I know outdoor and recreation has become a big part of it. But when we think about manufacturing, do you think about Montana and manufacturing? You know, a lot of people do. And there is, I think, maybe unknown, maybe it's hidden underneath, but there is a huge manufacturing presence in Montana. $1.46 billion in new and retained sales. Right now, 7,000 people employed. When you talk about investing, $360 million in new investments, there's more to talk. It's not just dollars and cents either, because there are people who are in this industry, manufacturing, as we'll find out today here on Voices, that have a connection to it. There's a family connection. There's a community connection. It's not just chunking out widgets. There's a lot more to it. And we're talking about it today. And welcome from Montana for Montana. I'm Tom Schultz, Friday edition of Voices of Montana. I'm sure Brad and Patty might laugh at this, but I say it every Friday. Woohoo! Only two more working days this week. So I'm really, really satisfied about that. Patty Fleming with the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center. We're here at Diversified Plastics, by the way, and Brad Reed is the owner. So we got Patty and Brad around the table. First, Patty, good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having us, Tom.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Setting that up. And Brad, how are you doing?
Doing well, Tom. Yeah. Thanks for having me this morning.
Appreciate it. Yeah, nice. We're in, actually, the conference room here at Diversified Plastics. It's in Missoula, Montana. Had a chance to kind of take a little bit of a tour of Diversified Plastics. And you guys are doing a ton of stuff. I mean, I was impressed. And not only in the middle of things right now, but with an eye toward the future.
Yeah. We're also... I'm sure you had a fun time trying to find a place to park this morning, because the whole front parking lot is all tore up. And that's not just for new asphalt. It is... an expansion we're doing out front that's adding on, it's pulling together 8,000 square feet with our existing 30,000 square feet with another 4,000 feet that pulls it together, give us a little bit more room. And so
that's
always fun.
Yeah. And is that not typical, Patty?
Yes, it is. And we're seeing unprecedented expansion in manufacturing in Montana right now. Montana's actually the growth of the output from Montana's manufacturers and the manufacturing employment in Montana is double the national average right
really?
Now. Really? If we look back, you know, back to the early 70s, you can see nationwide that there's kind of a slight decline in manufacturing facilities and employees since then. But if you put the Montana up there, we've been on an increase since the 70s of both employees and manufacturing companies.
What accounts for that?
You know, I expected to see, Brad and I are old enough to remember sawmills shutting down. And
this is what happened? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in with Patty. Not that I have facts on, but I would just have to say with a Montana-type attitude, and it's not only in Montana, but folks that just work hard, I think if you lose a job, if lumber industry is going down, foundries are going down, pulp mills going down, I think Montanans have a can-do attitude that think, well, I just got to go to work. And I don't care if I start it in my garage, but I'm going to work.
Well, and Patty said, and by the way, today is National Manufacturing Day, too. So, and you guys had an event yesterday. I want to get to that because you were there, Brad, and
right.
There's some things to talk about there. But as Patty had said, let's manufacture something. That's how you and this business started with your father.
Right, right. So, yeah, in the early 70s, Dad came to Montana. We came here in 73. He was selling steel sprockets, gears, and bearings and whatnot to all the lumber mills. And he was the store manager of a few guys. And then only a few years into that, I think he just realized, in conjunction with industrial plastics coming online, he realized, I want to do something different. I want to do something besides the same old thing. I want to make plastic parts in our garage. And so he came home and told lovely mama, that's what I'm going to do, and that's how it started.
Well, okay, so paint that picture for us,
yeah,
too,
right?
You know?
Yeah, well, it was probably the first of many start-your-own-business arguments going on in our little household.
Yeah.
I was like sixth grade. I had an older brother, older sister, and so it just started in the garage, and after about a year or so, you know, I think mom said, I want to park my car back in the garage again, get that plastic crap out of here, and make it somewhere else. So he goes and rents a little spot behind, back then it was Safeway, and hires his first employee, and it just starts. You know, now 46, 7 years later, we got 60 some people here.
46 years later, too. Yeah. I mean, I think that's significant. And I saw that. Well, I saw it on the wall 40 years, and I thought, wow, and that was 6 years ago.
Right.
You had to be, and your father, what's your father's name?
Rod Reed, yeah.
Rod had to be ahead of the game to get into plastics, yeah. 46 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Which makes it more of a gamble, too.
Huge gamble. There's an old show with Dustin Hoffman in the 60s.
The Graduate.
What is it?
The Graduate.
The Graduate. And a gentleman, you know, right when Dustin Hoffman graduates, he looks at him and says, "I got one word for you, son. Plastic."
That's right.
And so literally my dad said, because if you think about it, it was probably 8 or 10 years after that movie that my dad says, "I'm going to get into plastics." And it really is weird to think you got into it in the lumber industry. I mean, in the 60s and 70s, things were getting invented, like plastic knobs and how to put a piece of plastic into a car, and so he was already thinking, I'm going to do it in the lumber mills. And just, I would say intelligent enough, but maybe just goofy enough to say, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Well, and like you said, let's just manufacture something. But, Patty, that's – again, I'm going off stereotypes, but when we think of manufacturing, you think of the urban centers. You think of somebody coming in and let's start a facility. It's $4 million. Okay, we've got the pocket for it. But it's more frequent in Montana and probably around the country for stories like Brad.
I think so. In fact, Montana has one of the highest, if not – we have the second highest, Alaska beats us, on the percentage of manufacturers – that have less than 20 employees.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many employees do you have?
Right now, low 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Three, maybe. It's
a lot. Well, this is a big facility, yeah. And I appreciate you showing me around and showing me some of the things, and I do want to talk about that as
sure.
Well. But I'm always impressed with the challenges and how people face them differently, and every day can be sort of a different – so you have good days and bad days.
Right.
How do you manage? How do you manage that? Because you're talking about 60 people. This is a family-owned business. Brad, you carry the weight of not only Rod – but Logan, who's your son,
right.
as well.
Well, how do we do this? How do I do this without just putting all the pressure on my son? I prefer him not to have the same exact thoughts and struggles that I had
right.
emotionally, because
yeah.
it can weigh on you. And so one of my thoughts was spending a lot of time thinking about this, and I did it earlier this year, was get another five employees involved as partners in the company. And have them buy in on shares, and there's a way to do that where you can help them if they don't have the cash,
right.
Because it's not easy to say, hey, buy in. It's like let me help you take some bonus money and distributions and buy into my company. My goal is. Oh, by the way, my son was like, well, wait, I don't want it to. We want to have
right.
Yeah. I want to keep it in the Reed family. It's like,
right.
son, it will stay in our family. But what I'm trying to set up for you is a reduced amount of pressure on your shoulders where you have a team of people helping you manage and be involved, and it is now part of their retirement plan
yeah.
and their own little succession plan. It's just spreading out the load is all it is. It's still going to be in the Reed family, but you need this because I wished I would have had it, but I was smaller when I took it over from Dad. We had 25 people when I probably bought it from him. Now we got 60-some people, and before I leave, there'll be 80-some people, and it's like, trust me, you do not want all that on one person waking up every day, especially when you have a recession looming or something going on. It's just like struggles are hard enough. Just preferably don't do it alone.
So, Brad, when you did this, were you concerned, too, that you didn't want to see the company maybe get bought up by a bigger company that would shut it down and move it out of state?
Sure.
So I would imagine that you had a lot of concern
sure.
for your employees.
Sure. I've watched, particularly in Missoula, I've watched some other similar companies our size sell to venture capitalists, and they are still running today. One of them took off and moved and went back east. Then they went down to Mexico. This has been over a couple decades, and it's like, okay, I just don't want that to happen. And I know for me personally, I would still reap all the benefits. It'd be great. Just sell out, get out, and be done. And oh, by the way, my dad did give me that advice many, many times. Just sell it and get out. I think because Dad worked with me and sold it to me in a similar fashion that I'm doing to others, I have an appreciation and an internal obligation, I would say, where I just look in the mirror. It's like, I can't take the money and run. But I guess while I'm alive, I'm just going, I just would like to keep it going.
Well, it does matter, and that's what I think a lot of people appreciate. And I think that's why you have 60 employees, and they seem to be fully engaged because you engage with them. Patty, one, and that's Brad Reed, by the way. He's the owner of Diversified Plastics at dpiplastics.com. Patty Fleming is with us. We're at Diversified Plastics here on Manufacturing Day in Missoula. Been around 46 years. I really appreciate you telling that story. Patty Fleming, director of the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center. I want to have you comment on that story again in the light of we talked about sort of the struggles and the challenges, but how frequent is that story? How unique is that story? It seems to me to be a story full of Montana values. Can we keep manufacturing and have those same kind of values at play?
That's a very common story here in Montana, and it's a risk for the economy in Montana. It's something that we are deeply concerned about and have been for many years. You know, in today's world, we got a lot of baby boomers retiring, and that's the risk right here, is if they're not properly prepared to transfer the business to a family member or somebody, it may end up being sold, and it may end up out of state.
Family-owned business here, Diversified Plastics. It's been 46 years. I do want to talk about, I guess quintessentially, we could say that you guys make widgets and sprockets, don't you?
We do. We make all fun plastic stuff. Yeah. Typically, the sprockets and gears and bushings and bearings that go inside of equipment, things you don't normally see, but it's things that actually make your parts run, whether it's a John Deere or a mining piece of equipment. Our stuff's typically inside there.
Well, how do you develop those products? We were down there, and I was impressed because there's a lot of design that goes into it, and it's not just a you're pumping out plastics and then bam, right into a box, and they go out the door.
Right.
You have to touch them a lot of times.
Right. There's a few different ways that parts can come to be, but I'll describe one or two of them real quick. So. One way typically is you'll have larger OEM manufacturers. OEM is original equipment manufacturers, and let's just say it's a John Deere, for instance. And John Deere has a group of engineers, and they've decided they're going to lighten the weight of their equipment. They have a piece of steel that's wearing out too soon. They need some new ideas, so they'll call somebody like Diversified Plastics and say, hey, we'd like you to bid on a product. We need help. We get to chime in and say, well, have you thought about a glass-filled nylon, maybe with a little Teflon filled? How about this? Our experience shows that we could choose product polymer 1, 2, or 3. You're asking for 4, 5, and 6. So we kind of meet, and nowadays we have Zoom meetings and figure all that out. So we help get the product final and designed, and then depending on the quantities, we could machine it on a traditional CNC type machine. We could cast it out of a polyurethane. We could injection mold it out of one of our injection molding machines. So there's a few different ways to process it. And a lot of times that just depends on quantity, depends on maybe the exact material that we're selecting. So it comes to be basically because somebody needs it, requires it. We help get it final designed and then designed for manufacturability.
And that process, I think, for me, is fascinating because when you're designing something, you're looking at maybe a single supplier, and so you're trying to build in all your costs for that single contract because
right.
you don't want to. But once you get that design going a little bit,
right.
then you know you look for those markets that need that.
Yep,
right?
Exactly. So we'll, you know, if there's a John Deere out there, we make a part for it, and it's for a piece of a combine, and we have some rep agencies that help. Market and sell our products, as well as we have a few internal sales guys that literally fly and travel across the country. And phone calls, some marketing, some internet searches, and we'd look for other places to market that product.
Yeah. Patty, what's Brad doing right?
I would say almost everything. it's a well-run company, very diversified in their customer base, very diversified in their vendors. Great operation.
We're at Diversified Plastics. It's National Manufacturing Day. They had an event in Missoula yesterday. Brad Reed is with us. He's the owner, operator, and wears a lot of hats. He knows what you know, what 7 working days a week means, and also Patty Fleming with us. And I apologize for some technical difficulties. But, Brett, we were talking about, you know, again, the normal process and the development process. And how much of a focus is that for a manufacturer to look ahead? Because you guys are doing some expanding.
Right.
And I'd love to hear about that, especially talking about, you know, businesses want consistency in the economy so they can plan forward. But you may be looking at a recession and you're still going forward with the project. Talk about as we saw earlier, Patty, and that Brad was talking about this, there was all kinds of mental gymnastics he was going through because there's a lot going into that decision.
Yeah. So I think a good topic is, and Patty and I talked about wanting to chat about this on this hour, was looking into the automation as a way going forward. It plays a lot of different factors in the manufacturing. It plays into your profitability so that you can actually pay people more, so we can make really good increased living wages for all the employees. Housing markets are escalating. You know, Bozeman, Missoula, Kalispell, these places are requiring people to have to make more money. So the manufacturer, you got to sit back and think, how are we going to make so-called plastic widgets? And make them profitable enough to be able to pay people more so that they can actually live here in Missoula. Otherwise you die. I mean, you either win or you die. Businesses, I don't know if I talk about it out loud, but in my mind, you know, business is war, and you're trying to outfigure the competition. And I don't care if the competition's overseas or in another state down the road, but your goal is to win. And if you are not continually trying to figure out how to win, how am I going to win this job? How am I going to win on the next widget? How am I going to win designing something better than the next guy? And from business, in this capitalistic venture type of thing, it's not a bad word to say, I want to win. I want to be the best at what we do. The truth is, if you're not trying to do that, if your goal is to just stay where you are, it's going pretty well. In fact, I'm going to just make a pretty good living. I'm going to ride this out. If you are not on an incline, you're on a decline. Staying level is a decline because this is where I say, if you're not doing it, somebody else is. Somebody else is going overseas ahead of you. Somebody else is designing the next widget. So if you think you're going to just float along and stay level, maybe you don't realize it, but you're on the decline. So all that being said, I think this. Coming out of this pandemic, we have, as oddly as it is in the manufacturing world, we have people ordering more and more and more. I'm not sure where all that came from. I haven't quite, and I've asked that question a lot of times. Who is buying all this plastic stuff? It's kind of like the thing, who is buying all this toilet paper? It just, everybody went on a buying frenzy for everything. And I mean, vehicles, campers, whatever. I always expected us as Americans to wake up one day and look in your driveway and go, geez, I bought 3 cars and 2 campers and 4 4-wheelers yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. And right next to it, by the way, is a pile of toilet paper. So I've been kind of waiting for this to come to an end, but it really hasn't ended.
Yeah.
I think our economic leaders and federal government, they're trying to slow us down. They've increased interest rates. They're just trying to, in all essence, keep people from overpurchasing. It's like, hey, all you people, slow down, please, a little bit. You're gonna cause a crash. So they've been trying to work on getting us to slow down. So here we are going into, we've had all this growth. I think the economy's, the growth has to slow down a hair. It needs to slow down. Prefer not flatline or decline, but there's the potential of a decline. So as you said, we're going into that and all these mental gymnastics of, okay, I'm right now, today, yesterday, my customers are requiring me to grow. So I'm trying to grow, but I'm trying to keep my eyes focused on potentially a flat line of recession coming up. How do you grow, but don't grow too much, too fast? Don't use all of your cash, Brad. Store some away. Be conscientious of the growth and do it in moderation. And even though I know I have sales guys going, blow out these walls, get 10 more machines, sales are skyrocketing. It's like, I know that's how it is today, but I'm also worried about tomorrow. So let's think about how to grow systematically tomorrow. Let's do it with, goes back to where I started a few minutes ago, automation. Automation, if I can today use some money from today, automation, grow, all of a sudden a person can run two or three machines. And I can pay that person more to run the same amount of product versus just hiring a bunch of more warm bodies, which, by the way, don't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what, it's just, there's just not people out there. So,
yeah.
So you try to automate. And then I'm thinking, I got to get that automated, but I also need to get that paid off so that I don't have payments, so that when I go into a recession potentially, that I've got stuff paid off. And then all I have to do is slow a machine down, shut that machine down, ride out the recession. I've used my money wisely. I've spent it. I don't have to turn around and lay a bunch of people off. I mean, it's a lot I've said, but it's just going into from where we have come and where we're headed. There's a ton of mental gymnastics saying, well, how are we going to grow? How are you going to beat up the competition? How are you going to do what you do and come out on the other side, you know, prayerfully unscathed, but maybe even better yet, winning?
I'm going to take it to you, Patty, to follow up on that, because as director of the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center, and you can take that story and Brad, I mean, can be an example in a lot of ways.
Yes, all the Montana manufacturers, I think, are seriously considering investing in automation at this point. As Brad said, there just aren't the people out there. Our generation, we were okay with pulling on the green chain. We were okay with stacking 50-pound bags on pallets all day. There's just nobody going to do that these days. So as much as we'd like to provide another 50-pound bag stacking job, nobody's going to take it. So our really only alternative here in Montana and in manufacturing is to start automating. And when you think of automation, it's not – We can go back into history with the Luddites, and you know, did the sewing machine take all kinds of jobs away? That was automated sewing.
Yeah. Right.
Did the forklift take away all the jobs that were lifting things and carrying them? So we got to be accept automation and embrace it.
And like you say, because other people are going to be doing it, you have to, you know, how much is the focus on efficiency in your business along with those other considerations as a family? You understand the need to keep those jobs going as well. Does that weigh on you? But ultimately, you've got to keep your business going.
Yeah, it does weigh on you. You got to keep the business going. You have to do the automation to be able to increase the wages. I really love what Patty said, because I've never thought about it that way. Everything, if you go back in time, gets automated, from chiseling out the first wheel to go, how can I start chiseling out three wheels at a time instead of one at a time? If you embrace it and use it to your advantage, the goal is, hey, I can manufacture some more parts quicker. Hey, I can pay somebody more to run two or three machines instead of just one guy, like you said, moving the 50-pound bags around. It's like, well, what if I built a machine that did three at a time, and then I pay somebody more because I just bought four machines and he's going to monitor the four machines. And it's not that, it's kind of funny. One essence, you can go, well, we're all getting lazy. We don't want to move 50-pound bags around. Well, it's not lazy. That's hard work. So let's not do that. Let's work smarter, not harder. Harder would be, let's just move those bags around quicker. Smarter is, let's build a machine so that I can just monitor the machine and watch it. And the world is heading in automation, and has been for forever.
Well, that's essential manufacturing is what that is.
It is. It's lean manufacturing, essential manufacturing, and it's just working smart.
Yeah.
And again, if I stand back and look at it, if I'm not doing it, somebody else will.
I'm going to take a break and then, Patty, did you want to? Okay. I want to take a break and then come on back, because we had this manufacturing day yesterday, and Brad, you were a part of that. And I want to get your impression on that. I want to come back and hear about, hey, this guy's doing this, it's really cool, or that company, you know, found themselves at a fork in a road and went this way. I think we all have things to learn from that. So we're back with more. We're live from Diversified Plastics. It's dpiplastics.com for more information. But Brad Reed with us here, company owner, and Patty Fleming from the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center. Back with more voices here in just a bit.
When it comes to agriculture, anything can happen. And it usually does. At Northwest Farm Credit Services, our business is safeguarding yours. We provide a variety of crop and livestock insurance options. And our agents don't just know insurance, we know farming too. Which means we know what it takes to keep you up and running, even if the unexpected occurs. So if safeguarding your business sounds like a good plan, give us a call. Northwest Farm Credit Services, here to help you grow. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Welcome back. It's from Montana for Montana. Tom Schultz alongside Voices of Montana. We're here at DPI Plastics again, or DPIplastics.com. That's Diversified Plastics. Brad Reed, again, a family-owned business, 46 years, got ahead of the game a little bit. It didn't come without sacrifice and some hard choices as well. Patty Fleming with us, too, with the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center. Brad, how are your buddies doing in manufacturing?
You know, manufacturing over the last couple of years through the pandemic, oddly, has been, for most manufacturers, skyrocketing. And again, probably, as I said before, I think tons of overpurchasing. But, yeah. Hey, nonetheless, we have just been behind the eight ball forever trying to get caught up. I mean, it's been a great thing. We're just trying to figure out how steep and how long that curve's going to go.
I've always wondered how long it will take to figure that out.
You know, the feds are trying to slow us down a little bit. I think if we all as Americans kind of slow down a little bit together at one time, it won't be a crash like we've experienced in the past. So my hope is that we slow down and not stop. So
I'm with you on that. But then the infrastructure bill was passed. I think they overstimulated the economy. That's right. One of the things but you have to deal with it. Talk about some of your buddies.
So, well, we had that manufacturing day, Missoula Manufacturing Day, and it was held at Barron Brewery yesterday.
Record turnout, I hear.
Yeah, and it was. I guess I don't know how many high school kids showed up and did all the tours of all the different facilities yesterday. It ended up at Barron, but I know it went through CM Manufacturing and went through Spectrum and it went through, a bunch of different places. Yep. And so I wanted them to have them come through here, but we're just so tore up. We just couldn't do it. We'll have to pick up on it next year. But we ended up at Barron, and they had a little chat there afterwards. After all the high school kids left, which, by the way, I met with a few of them, and I even put the name of one of the young kids in my – I don't think his name. And I put him on the phone. I thought, I want to find you in 4 years. He's a freshman. Yeah. Outgoing, love manufacturing. So these kids that are going through looking at the manufacturing facilities in Missoula and kind of looking at the world through manufacturing eyes, it's neat to see them excited about it. So that's kind of cool. And the cobot was there for a demonstration that Jenny West did with MMEC. So we ended up at Barron, chatted for a while there. I kind of gave a state of Diversified Plastics for 20 minutes at the end of all that. Was able to talk to Jürgen, who's the owner of Barron, and then Torsten, who's the brewmaster there. Chatted with those guys, which, by the way, have very strong German accents. But, you know, they've just been going gangbusters. And I'm looking at, it was kind of funny. I was talking to Jürgen saying, I don't know if he remembers, but I remember going into their facility on, I want to say 3rd Street, something like that, before they were where they ended up, because he was putting in a brand new, his first bottling, automated bottling system, and he needed some plastic sprockets, gears, UHMW stuff. So we had, I'd met him there way back then, but didn't know who he was because I was a young kid, and he was doing his thing. But the neat thing is, I think I told him last night, I said, you know what's funny is I was working with you 25, 30 years ago. I haven't been here since, but now I'm at your facility drinking a beer. And it's just funny in Missoula to think how us as manufacturers have kind of grown up around here and made things work over the decades. But it's been ever since the timber industry has kind of come and gone. Other companies just have to survive.
Patty, I'm going to give it to you as well. What's the status? You talked about it growing. Is there a ceiling?
I don't see it at this point. We're getting so much growth in Montana. We're getting a lot of merger and acquisition activity. Vista Outdoor now has purchased 3 companies in Montana and will be moving their headquarters to Montana. We also have a company just purchased 2 companies in Montana, Mark Wright Lines out of Billings, and also purchased Tow Hall out of Belgrade. So those are great signs for Montana's manufacturers that things continue to go. And back to Brad, what Brad was talking about, a lot of us don't realize that beer is manufacturing. And a challenge to everybody is look around the room you're in and try to find something that wasn't manufactured. Every physical thing that you have ever purchased was manufactured.
Well, and that's why I think sometimes we overlook it. And it's a vital part of our economy. And that's actually one of those areas where our economy can grow. We've got only like about 30 seconds left. And I really appreciate that. You know, the tour as well, because it informed me about the precision that's needed, but also the many challenges that you have here. You know, you talked about the expansion here. What's kind of ahead for that?
What's coming ahead is I did buy some land around me from expansion with the expectation that we're just going to need to expand. And that's a great thing. I'm with Patty. Long term, we're going to continue to grow and manufacturing is around to stay. Short term, there'll be bumps and hills and valleys, and we'll just work our way through it.
I so much appreciate how you handle your business here as well. I mean, with the Montana values and the mindset of it's not only about profit, it's also about people here. Brad Reed, Patty Fleming, thank you guys. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors for Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.